You're listening to Jedi and Germ, the weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Mr. Famous John, who was just on 1280, John English, the John English.
Yes, that is my full title, and you will address me as such from now on.
By the way, hey, Devin, how are you this morning? Hey, good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But we're a podcast.
Oh, crap.
That's true. We don't get to see John. John's the only guy we don't see, and John doesn't see us.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That may be for the best. I'm kidding.
No, I guarantee
John.
You it's for the best. It's okay. He doesn't want to see me. So before we kick off, I do want to, you know, give a shout out to the folks at 1280, particularly the Jazz Fan Show. Did I say that right? Fan Show, for having you on this last weekend. And if anybody didn't get a chance to listen, go check him out. I listened. John was on as guest on their show. It's a great show. I didn't even know anything about it till you brought it up, John. So, kudos to them having you on.
Yeah, it's a fairly new show. I believe I was on the sixth episode. I actually haven't gone back and listened to me on it yet, so I'll have to do that. But yeah, they reached out to me, and so I was able to go into studio and meet with them. And it's a cool new show they're doing. I like what they're doing, and people ought to check it out.
Yeah, I believe it's what hosts Ryan and Kelby. Is that right, Ryan? Is it Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan and Kelby. And then they had another guy that seems to be a frequent writer for them and comes on Coach Phil? Is that what he goes by? Coach Phil? Something like that. I saw that he was a guest on, and I've seen he's written a few things too.
Yeah, I don't know. I just met with the two guys, but sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a great conversation you guys had. Anybody listening, go check it out. It's the Jazz Fan Show. They're on Twitter, Jazz Fan Show, and I believe you can find them on the 1280 app as well as any other place that their shows are uploaded.
John?
Yep.
Don't you leave us.
Yeah, don't leave us for higher, greener pastures.
If you even think about leaving us, I will come to your house, I will spray paint your bathroom, and I don't know what
improve
else.
Improve it.
You'll spray paint his bathroom Bronco blue and orange?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
I'm sorry, John. I had
Alan, did you not see what my daughter did to my bathroom?
Maybe I missed that. What did she do?
I posted the pictures of it. She found a can of spray paint and she went to town.
Oh. So there was a story behind where Devin was going. I got you.
Yes.
I believe that is University of Utah Red. And it is, we are coming up on the rivalry game, so she's just a week early.
Oh, by the way, Devin, I don't know if this was on your quick hits, but apparently the new athletic director at Utah showed up. It was moving in, and the moving truck was a BYU moving truck.
Oh, God.
He tweeted that out, actually.
Oh,
so.
I missed that one. Yeah.
He says moving day, and it's apparently off to a great start.
Yep. All right, let's jump into this last week of Jazz basketball, shall we?
Let's do it. Do we have to?
Yes, we do have to, because there was a lot that happened. Last week, John and I talked about what the big game against Boston would be like. And, John, I don't think we were too far off.
No, in fact, I listened to it after the game, after the fact. And, no, you two weren't too far off at all. Let's talk about that. Jazz, they go 2-1, right, John? And they are currently, what, at 500, 7-7?
Yep.
Talk about that Boston game for starters.
Well, I didn't know that Kyrie Irving was going to miss the game, but sometimes that doesn't matter. Boston's so deep that it's okay when they're missing players. But Jazz got their revenge. They went at Gordon every time and exposed his defensive liabilities. Different guy stepped up. Was that the Joe Ingles headband game?
No, that was the Memphis Grizzlies game. We'll get
that. That was Memphis. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. But Joe, yeah. Okay. So Boston was the one where Joe got 27. So,
oh yeah, he went off
Joe
from
was,
downtown.
Joe was, we knew somebody would want revenge on Hayward, and it looked like that was Joe's revenge game. But everyone played well, warm fuzzies all abound. Donovan Rubio was a good scorer. I mean, it was a great game.
Donovan had an ISO one-on-one with Gordon late in the game, puts up a little floater as he falls out of bounds. Should have been an and one. It wasn't, but still that was pretty. And that had the fandom in a frenzy too. So it was a good game. It was a very good game. You mentioned without Kyrie Irving, they are still deep. The one thing that they are very good at with or without Kyrie Irving is defensive schemes. They're the best defensive team in the league. The Jazz put up 120, what was it, two in that game?
It was in the 120s. It was 123.
That's what it was, 123, against the best defensive team in the NBA, and that was impressive. That with or without Kyrie Irving, there has to be something said about the Jazz's offense clicking that night against that defense.
Yeah, last week they were 1-2, so it was nice to watch what was happening with Boston, with Memphis, and I felt full of confidence for Dallas, and then of course wound up going differently. But
yeah, the wheels came off. The wheels came off that night. But let's transition to Memphis for a moment. You brought up the headband game. We're gonna have memes about Joe Ingles the rest of the year as a result of that game.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we are not.
Why not?
Because I was all on board, and then the next game happened. Guys, we got distracted by the headband.
All right, that's fair. John, thoughts?
Thoughts on the headband? We can keep talking about the headband, right?
Or the Memphis game, or all of the above. I mean, the Jazz got the Memphis
Jazz got
monkey
the revenge on
there.
Memphis.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, unfortunately, Dallas got their revenge on the Jazz. It's really hard to beat a team three times in a row. What do you say about that game? Well, I quit watching somewhere around the end of the third, which is also around the time the Jazz quit playing.
Yep.
All the stuff that has made me worried about their offense came to light. Just missed shots after missed shots. They were 6-35 from three. 25 from 80 overall, 31.3% shooting.
Oh, and by the way, they weren't contested shots either, mind you. They were open, a lot of them.
Yeah. The only player really that I thought played kind of good was Derek Favors.
Yes.
But really, everybody stunk. I mean...
Yeah, is
they,
it when,
they just oh gosh.
When your best scorer when your best scorer of the night was Ricky Rubio and he had 11.
Yes.
On what was
that,
it? Two of
that says it all.
Two of what shooting, something like that. You know
he was 3 of 9.
Yeah, 3 of 9. You know it's a bad night.
Yeah. Usually you can just tell me the leading scorer of every game for the Jazz, and from that I can usually tell if they won or lost. If Rubio or Jay Crowder is your leading scorer, that means the Jazz lost.
Now, to be fair, during that stretch in January and February last year, Rubio was the leading scorer on a couple of nights, and they were winning, and oh, were they winning, and oh, was he on a hot streak. But yes, I'm with you. Generally, the general rule
Yeah,
there,
this is November.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to get Rubio until January. It sounds like if it's anything like last year, he's just right. Gonna suck for the first third of the season and things will come together, and I'm really hoping for his sake that's what happens. But
agreed. Couple of notes from that game though before we get into another note that you put in here. I was listening to our good friend Austin yesterday, Austin and Tony, in the morning, and was listening, and they brought up, very interestingly enough, they brought up that that particular night in Dallas was also their veterans night, and the way they were describing it, I guess there is one game a year where all season ticket holders on the front, at least front row, if not front two rows, give away their tickets to military veterans in the state of Texas. Give them away. They do not, no, they give them away. So for that night, historic night for Dallas, historically bad night for the Jazz, the veterans, our nation's veterans, were able to show up and sit on the front two rows of that Dallas game and enjoy a game.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's a good thing.
Because I think that is a fantastic promotion event, whatever you want to call it, that they do.
They do it every year.
But I just want to say that that explains a lot. because we have a very patriotic team in the Utah Jazz, and we are so proud of our veterans that we were so busy saluting them that we did not even win. We did not shoot. We did not try.
Whatever makes you feel good,
it
Devin.
It makes perfect
Whatever
sense.
Whatever makes you feel good.
We threw a game in the name of America. John, do you agree?
Wholeheartedly.
Oh, gosh. All right. With that said, let's look ahead. This coming All week, right. Thanksgiving this next week, we've got four games ahead starting tonight.
Tonight. Yes. After that Dallas game, I'm really worried about Philly. I am hoping that the Jazz team that was playing Boston and Memphis is the one that shows up. We get to see Donovan versus Ben, Embiid versus Gobert.
And Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler, the new Jimmy Butler Sixers. So, you know, thing with Sixers is now that they got Jimmy Butler, their starting five is much stronger, but their bench is much thinner.
Right.
And they don't exactly have a lot of knockdown shooters either. So this could be a really interesting game.
And if there's a silver lining, the Jazz and Philly are actually the same in the loss column.
Yeah.
I saw
Philly lost their first game with Butler. This is going to be Butler's first home game in Philly.
Yes, they lost last night or night before.
He's going to be amped.
Is this the second night to have back-to-back? I can't remember. I thought they played last night, unless it was the night before. But you are correct.
I don't know.
I
just remember the headline that he lost his first Sixers game. Let's see.
Yes, and he did. And
to the Sixers. They lost to Orlando. That's right.
Yeah, Orlando had a huge second half comeback. Huge.
They're 9-7. They're 9-7. We're 7-7.
Well, so. That's what I meant. I said loss column. I didn't say overall.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what gives tonight. I agree. You know, are you going to get, a team that, you know, I mean, how will the Jazz defend a team that, you know, is not going to shoot the three very well? And will it be on the one night that they do that Philly goes off and hits how many threes, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, the thing with the Jazz, though, is the offense is set up to work really well if your guys can hit their outside shots. They get a lot of open shots. But teams, I think, are seeing more than more that you really don't have to guard the perimeter that much against the Jazz because they clang them. They'll go up on Joe. They'll go up on Donovan. Guys are slagging way off of Ricky, off of Jay, off right. of O'Neal, because these guys just aren't hitting their shots. And I see Philly doing the same thing. Right. You have to establish your inside game to get your outside game more open. And
inside's going to be
it
tough.
It seems like you have Embiid.
Yep.
So that's going to be really tough. And it just seems like that's what teams are doing more and more with the Jazz. They realize that if they could just control the paint, they can slag off the perimeter, and it winds up working out okay if the Jazz are only going to shoot 20% from three.
Now, one play that I like works in the Jazz favor in a situation like that is when they try and run pick and roll with Rudy and Joe Ingles, because Joe Ingles will dribble inside and look for the pocket pass or even the pass up top to him. If he doesn't have it because the opposing team is playing, you know, up high against Rudy, it leaves Joe wide open for a layup every single time. So there are some poisons, if you will, that other teams will have to pick when it comes to certain plays within the Jazz offense. And I think they need to go to that pick and roll a little more often. I don't think they go to it near enough. And that's, I'm saying that after I know that they do it a lot, right? They do it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Philly tonight, Boston then is it tomorrow night or Sunday?
Boston is Saturday, so it's a back-to-back.
And then they've got Indiana.
Indiana Monday and Sacramento Wednesday.
Sacramento at home on Wednesday. So, 2-2? Are we okay with 2? I mean, Indiana's tough, though. So we can't – I don't know if I can even mark that as a win. And you know Boston's going to be out for a little vengeance tomorrow night. It's 2-2, or are we going to just drop the bar and say 1-3 this week?
See, I think 2-2 you got to be happy with, because all four of those teams are good.
Right.
Let's see. Philly's 9-7. They just got Jimmy. Indiana's 8-6. Boston's 8-6, and Sacramento is 8-6.
Right.
So they're all in that range. They're all good teams. They're all beatable, but the Jazz have to be playing well to do it. And that, you know, that Dallas game really threw off our stats.
Yes, it did.
It dropped the Jazz's defensive rating down to 21st. It dropped their offensive rating down to, their offense is down to the 21st. Their defense is down to the 18th.
Well, and prior to that game, the night before, they were ninth defensively, and I think it was 12th offensively. So, yeah, they took a brutal beating that night.
Yeah.
Well, here's the good news, guys. Scientifically speaking, every basketball team makes the same number of shots throughout a season. And so the Jazz are just saving their buckets for a later day.
I want a link to the scientifically speaking proving
It's on the internet. I read it.
Okay.
So
it's on the internet. There you have it, folks.
They're going to bounce back. That or they're going to go 0-4 this week.
So, Devin, what are they going to do? 2-2? I'm saying 2-2.
I hope for 2-2.
I'm going to go 1-3.
See, somebody had to be the Debbie Downer.
Okay, I'm going to go 0-4, okay? 0-4. And if they win one, it'll be a miracle, and probably against Sacramento because it's Sacramento.
Here's the thing. The Jazz are consistently inconsistent. You know, one of these games, they're going to have three different guys go for 20. 2-2, I think, is very possible.
Okay, so before we move out of Jazz notes, John, this last item you have on here, I dare say, I don't know whether I want to jinx it and bring it up, but are the wheels coming off? Is it trade talk time?
I don't think the wheels are coming off, but I think they need to seriously look at this, because the Jazz, as constituted, isn't working as well as it did as the end of last year. They can preach patience, whatever they want to do. But the thing is, guards are not making their shots. The defense is not as locked down as it was last year. And this is an 8-seed team if they stay like this. I mean, right now they're in the lottery because the West is still the West. And I know it's early, but really it's very concerning to me that you have this many guys shooting this bad 14 games in the season. I mean, we expect the occasional bad game, but, you know, the only ones who are really consistent are Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert in what they do.
And Alec Burks. Don't talk on my Alec Burks, who's shooting 52% from downtown, let me remind you.
Also on an expiring deal.
And he's not getting all the minutes either because of other problems that Quinn seems to have with him in the offense and defense. I don't know. Yes, Alec is shooting well when he goes in.
And he fits in the offense because he's passing extremely well.
Yeah, his efficiency looks pretty decent.
Uh-huh.
They need Donovan's back to 30% from three. Okay. Ricky Rubio's at 26. Jay Crowder's at 31. Dante Exum's at 26% from three.
Let's not start throwing Dante Exum under the bus here, okay?
No.
Here. We're not gonna do a trade. I don't see that happening. Maybe there's some things that we should look at if we could, but I don't know. I think you have to kind of trust in last year and think it's all gonna start to come together eventually. If it doesn't, it's gonna raise another question that I think is even more important.
What's that?
Is it time for the return of hashtag Tank Note?
No. No,
you don't think that
it's a little too soon for that.
Retire it. Don't bring it back.
You don't think that that Utah should be the home of Zion?
Okay, to be fair, Zion would be freaking amazing. But There would be so many play on words with that too. Do you realize that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
No, but back to the trade talks for a minute, John. Here's my thoughts though. It basically it's a conundrum. I mean, you know, I would assume a couple of the guys you would think would be on the trading block, Ricky Rubio, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you would bring up, and I'm going to play off of your previous from a couple of years ago, my client, Alec Burks. But anyway, I know he would be on there. But my argument against trading Burks is he's one of your best three-point shooters. You don't want to get rid of that right now because you just don't have it. Ricky Rubio, if you consider trading him, does that alienate some of the other guys on the team that seem to have a very good relationship with him? And are we back to like they did when they traded Ron Brewer and others who alienate Deron Williams? Does it now affect Donovan Mitchell going forward or no?
No. And the thing with the Ronnie Brewer trade is the Jazz were a playoff team and they traded Ronnie Brewer for a first round pick. That was a good long-term move. But short-term move, all the guys were like, we're a playoff team. Why are we trading away a player for nothing? And especially Deron Williams. And he was the leader and he was, you know, salty.
Right.
The guys understand it's a business, that it's right. Very rare that everyone gets to come back for another year. If they're going to make a trade, I still think it's weeks away.
Right.
But they have to be concerned about just how up and down this team has been.
Right.
And here's the other thing. A lot of these contracts are expiring next year, and most of the ones who are expiring won't be back. I would be very surprised if Burks was back, if Favors was back, and honestly, if Rubio was back. I think they're going to go into free agency looking to make a big splash with a big name, and if they can sign some high-profile free agent, it depends on what position that guy plays, and then they'll fill out everything else from there.
Right.
They are going into next year with maximum flexibility. And if they make a trade this year to, keep us in the playoffs, it's going to be something that still doesn't sacrifice long-term flexibility.
Okay. Can't disagree. All right. That's enough Jazz talk. We have nailed that nail into the coffin. Wipe that smirk off your face, Devin. All right, moving on to NBA news and notes. How about we start with the biggest news of the week, John? Jimmy Butler.
The saga in Minnesota is over. Jimmy Butler is now on the Sixers. Robert Covington and Dario Saric and Jared Bayless are now with the Timberwolves. Since Butler moved back to Philly, the Markelle Fultz experiment has been delayed. He is coming off the bench now, and he sent out a subtweet on that. I thought that was interesting.
I missed it. What did it say?
Something like, can't trust what people say, or can't take anybody's word. What was
Ouch.
It? Something like that. Let me find it. You really can't trust no one.
Oh, boy.
He tweeted it in January, and then he retweeted it a few days ago.
We'll trade for Fultz.
Yeah.
I have some reservations about him, though.
We'll trade Alec Burks for Fultz.
No.
I
so
just yes.
can we just take a moment and just take a step back? And one of my favorite players that has played in the league over the years, guy I've enjoyed watching, now is the president and GM, or not president, but the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, Elton Brand. How good is this for a first move for Elton Brand? I thought this was a good move.
Yeah, I think it's good for Philly. It's good for Minnesota. I think both franchises ultimately win with this trade. I think I might have preferred 4 first-round picks, but if 3 of them are in the late 20s and you suck at drafting, maybe not.
Right.
But Robert Covington is a good player right now. Dario Saric is a good player right now.
Right.
And they're both fairly young. So all of that works out great.
Like you said, there's question marks with Philly. You have to worry about their three-point shooting now because they just sent away really the only guys they had outside of J.J. Redick that could hit consistently. And you do bring back Butler, and Butler can hit. But J.J., that load of three-point shooting is going to fall on J.J. now. Big time.
Yeah. And they also sent their rookie Justin Patton over.
right?
So if you go back to the Jimmy Butler Chicago trade, essentially Minnesota has traded Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Jared Bayless.
And I saw an interesting argument being made the other day in a Twitter thread between one of our Jazz friends here and somebody else talking about the defensive hit that Philly took on this as well. Sure, you bring back Butler, who's a good defender, but they were suggesting that a couple of the guys, Covington and Saric, were actually very good defenders, and you've sent them away. Does this hurt them defensively at all?
Not much.
No?
It hurts them because it's two good defenders versus Jimmy Butler's a very good.
Right.
But he's only one guy.
Right.
That's where I would say.
Okay. So, but I'm with you. It's a win-win for both teams. We'll see how it plays out for both teams in the long term. I think Elton Brand made this move for Philly for the short term as much as he did for the long term, because I think Philly is starting to get in win now mentality. Would you disagree with that?
Nope.
Yeah. So win now mentality means bring in somebody that's going to get you there immediately. And Jimmy Butler may be that piece they need. We're going to see how it plays out, but you know, there's still 70 games left in the season, but it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. All right, on to the next news. And Devin, you brought it up in our message group the other day. Chris, is it Karis?
Yes.
Karis LeVert.
I did not watch it fully. I don't like to see that stuff, but it did not look good, right?
It looked like he haywarded his ankle. It looked like a complete fracture.
And then we find out the next day that
it's dislocated ankle.
And he's coming back eventually.
Yeah. Somehow he didn't break anything, but they did say that he should be able to come back later this season, which is amazing. Because when I watched it, I thought for sure he's out for the rest of the year. It went 90 degrees
Ouch.
In an angle it shouldn't. And yet I can't believe nothing broke. So ultimately, good for him. I mean, he's been a bright spot in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's finally becoming a decent team, and he's an important part of that. His development was an important part of that. Brooklyn might start just slipping down. Who knows? But they've got their core finally, and so I think because they're such a big market that they finally have established a base that they might be able to get some good free agents over there now.
I was surprised there wasn't any like ligament damage or anything like that. Cause like you said, John, it was, it was completely wrong. And for them to say, oh, he'll be back this year, this season, he'll be playing ball again. It's just nuts.
I know how that goes because I did that in July when I was playing ball myself. I landed, only it wasn't my ankle. I tripped and I went to land to catch myself with my right hand, and my elbow dislocated and bent 90 degrees the opposite direction. And as I fell to the ground and flipped my arm back over, it popped back into place. But for a good long time, it did not look good. And I remember looking at it after it had popped, and I saw it bent the wrong way and popped back in place, which was freaky enough as it is. But I felt like I broke something, and I didn't. It was dislocated, and you know, it feels weird still. But it, you know, it's weird to see that stuff, and grateful for LeVert that it was only a dislocation. He's lucky. He's fortunate. So, all right. Next on the list, Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, the Houston Rockets have been one of the worst teams in the West, and they ultimately decided to part ways with Carmelo Anthony. I was listening to the Jump's reaction to this, and Rachel asked the panel where they thought Melo should go next, and both guys suggested he should probably just retire now.
Go to China.
Go overseas.
Go ball out, get paid, just, you know.
You know, can I say that the overseas game suits him well? I mean, he won a gold.
Man, how many points he would average and how much money he would make in China still.
But look at how he was in the international game. He won a gold medal and he looked good doing it. He looked very good doing it, right?
Yeah, that was a few years ago though now.
I know. Well, a couple years. Just been a couple, hasn't it?
Isn't it an off year in Olympics? I thought it was 2014. Was it 2016?
I thought it was more recent than 14, but I could be wrong.
Wasn't 16 the Winter Olympics? They don't do basketball.
Oh, maybe it was 14. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
it was 14. 14. That's a long time ago, 2014.
But
no, it was 16.
Yes, it was 16.
The Winter Olympics were just Olympics were just this year.
Yes, it was 16.
2018 has been a long year,
that was only 2 years ago, John, so it wasn't a long time ago.
You know, that's true. Ever since 2016, every year feels like 10 years.
Yes, it does.
It's just been amazing.
So, and wouldn't you know it, they part ways with Melo and they turn around and beat Golden State.
Yeah, well.
Do you look much into that?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
I don't think Houston's problem is Melo. Do I think that Carmelo was the solution to their problem? Absolutely not. Do I think that he was probably more of an expense than a benefit? Yeah, I'd say so, a little bit. But I think it comes down to the other offseason's moves that they made.
Agreed.
They let their guys go who they should have re-signed. Ariza was a huge loss.
And Morey's got to own that. So Morey has to.
You know, it is what it is. Will this make a huge difference? I don't think so.
No.
We all kind of said that Houston was taking a step back this season, right? Wasn't that what we predicted?
Yeah. I mean, stepping back from 60-something games when they lose Ariza and Luke.
But did we expect it to be this steep of a step back, John? Because let's face it, they are really not. They're a shell of what they were last year.
Guys, we lost by 50. We have no room to talk right now.
Jazz and Rockets now have the same record.
Yeah. and we can boast losing by one to the Warriors and then losing by 50 to Dallas, and Houston can boast beating the Warriors. So
it's whatever. It's
evens
NBA.
Out. Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on. We have the other big news of the week. Turned out to be very big. KD and Draymond Green drama. Drama in the Golden State Warriors. What do you say?
The highlight that stuck out to me was after their argument, he's going back on the court. You can read Kevin Durant's lips and he says, "That's why I'm out." I think it is a positive sign that KD really is going to explore free agency seriously next summer, and I'm all here for it.
Yep.
Good. And with the blow up, Warriors wound up telling Draymond Green to sit a game so he could calm down. Do you need 3 days to calm down? I guess so. So
interestingly enough, too, I have a Star Wars basketball group that I'm in, and one of them is a Warriors fan, and he keeps up on the local Warriors news and media. And he says he said something that I was already thinking and tend to agree with. Do you look past this as no big deal? Maybe in the past you do, but the fact that the Warriors felt the need to suspend him without pay for a game suggests this is a lot more serious than anybody in that organization is going to let on to believe. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. You know, maybe we treat it like Clay said. You know, go on a little win streak. It will not matter. This will be in the past like a ponytail. Well, you know what I'm saying?
And Draymond addressed it before shoot-around yesterday, too, and talked about it.
Guys, when you're historically the best team to ever play the game, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know.
You know, will KD leave? Maybe. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. But
right.
I think they'll put it all together. They'll make a run. They'll win another title. They'll get the three-peat. Boogie will get a ring.
Oh. Did you have to bring that up? I don't want to think about Boogie getting
and then
a ring.
Durant will go to the Knicks.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd be happy for Fizdale if that happened. I mean, Fizdale's putting together a nice culture over there.
It'd be for the NBA if it happened.
Yeah, that too.
What if this? What if the Warriors say, we'll trade Draymond?
To Utah?
No.
To anybody.
To anybody.
To anybody?
And KD says, okay, I'll stay. I'm sick of dealing with Draymond's ego.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. I'm not sure that they could still afford that, though, because paying Clay, paying Steph, and paying KD, that's
Well, Steph's already paid.
Right. No, but
so
I'm
that's
just saying,
taken care of.
I'm just saying that's a lot of money.
Yeah, next summer you have Clay and KD you got to deal with anyway. Draymond has an extra year on his contract, so you're not dealing with that. So if you're trading away Dre, well, it seems like no matter what, the Warriors, I think they have the highest payroll anyway.
Yep.
So they're paying $49 million to Kevin Durant and Clay Thompson this year. That comes off the books next year. What are they going to be able to get both of them back for? I think Clay will re-sign no matter what. I just think he's way too comfortable there. It's a good situation for him.
Right.
Durant, no. I don't know. I give it 50-50. I mean, even if they win another ring and they get a three-peat, I think there's still something deep down in Durant where he's like, I got my rings. No one can criticize me about not getting rings, but he doesn't feel like he's getting the respect he feels he deserves for getting those rings just because he's on the Warriors. And I think he'll want it. I think he sees what happened with LeBron in Cleveland and how that one ring in Cleveland means so much more than the two in Miami.
Or does he turn around and go to DC and join up with Wall?
No. Here's what happens.
Nope. He will not go to Washington.
Here's what happens. Here's what happens, guys, okay? Clay comes to the Jazz.
Oh.
I like it.
Golden State says, we have to keep KD. We have to keep the guy who's won us three titles in a row, who's been a three-time finals MVP, one of the best scorers to ever play the game. We're trading Dre, so they trade Dre. KD says, nope.
I'm leaving.
It's too little, too late.
And it leaves them with Steph.
And they've got Steph. And that's it.
I love your thinking. I love the wheels in your head right now, but I just don't see it happening.
We
it's still funny.
We just completely flipped the table of the NBA.
Sorry, Sean, you're listening to this. Devin can hear about it from you later.
And the Jazz would immediately become one of the favorites, right? I mean, if Clay is your big splash, your backcourt is
John. John, are you buying any of this?
No. Well, okay. Even if they traded Dre and Durant and Clay moved on, a lot of other guys would love to play with Steph. And if they come to the Warriors, that it wouldn't be seen as piggybacking for a ring because they lost so many good players. So they could lose all three of those guys, and I think the Warriors would be just fine because other top 20 free agents would say, yes, I'd love to go to Golden State and play for that fan base and that culture and all that stuff.
That was a nice thought, Devin, but that just got shot out of the sky.
Man. I don't know. let me just dream this dream for the season, will you? Hey,
moving on to the final.
Works for me.
Final NBA note of the week. Gordon Hayward decides to make a statement that he's willing to come off the bench for the sake of winning in Boston. Yes?
He floated that idea. It's really been amusing to watch Boston fans with Hayward. They love to get all highfalutin and condescending when it comes to the Jazz being upset with how Hayward left the team. But this early in the season, I'm already see them grumbling about benching Hayward and trading Hayward. Even Bill Simmons has been grumbling about it. So, you know,
I'd find
that German word, Schadenfreude. It's like, okay.
I'd find it funny if they show up in Boston tomorrow night and the entire arena erupts when Jay Crowder steps on the floor and it's Jay Crowder, Jay Crowder.
That would be funny. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. It'd be way funny considering the reverse happened, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah. That would be funny. I would enjoy that if they would do that, but...
I know.
But most Boston fans are like, Marcus Morris is playing better than Gordon Hayward. Why don't we just start Marcus Morris? And,
ouch.
You know, they're like, how much money did we give this guy? I mean, they got to be patient, you know, because who knows how long it's going to take for that ankle to feel 100% safe with him. But
aside from the ankle, he's got to find that groove and chemistry mesh with his teammates. He hasn't had a season to do that. He's just doing it now. Might as well consider this his first season with Boston because he played, what, all of 6 minutes last year, right? I don't even think it was six minutes.
Yeah.
So this is considered his first year with Boston. He hasn't had a chance to mesh on the court with his teammates. So,
and his first year with Boston, he's shooting 31% from three, and his defensive numbers are not near what they were in Utah.
But the point I'm making, John, is wouldn't we have seen these numbers from him last year had he played? I actually think we might have.
You think he would have played this bad if he had been healthy last year?
I don't know. It's hard to say because it's in a new environment, a new experience, new chemistry, new all of that. It takes a while to grind it out and get into it. And maybe this discussion is moot in another month when he's back into form again. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe the injury did affect him, and I'm sure it did. I'm not downplaying that at all. But what I am trying to say is going to a new team like that, even trying to be the player you are, you're fitting into an entirely different system. Let's be fair. Brad Stevens runs a different system than what Quinn Snyder does. So do we see maybe there's some adjustments there?
Yeah.
That's all I'm pointing
to. Yeah, there is.
So, all right, that will do it for NBA news and notes. Moving on to Devin's quick hits.
Well, I guess we'll keep talking about the NBA for a minute. Kyrie Irving was saying that it would be nice if they had a 15-year, 14-year vet that could kind of help us understand it's a long marathon rather than just a full-on sprint. You think he's missing Bron at all?
Hi. My name's LeBron James. I've been in the league for 13 years. Veteran. I was your veteran teammate. Yeah, I think he is.
LeBron's been in the league for 15 years.
I know. I'm just saying, but at the time, at that time, he was in the league for 13 years.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah. It's like he's pining for that kind of veteran now, and 2 years ago, he walked away from that kind of veteran.
John?
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that he was thinking more Carmelo Anthony because most NBA players love Carmelo Anthony, but it's just hilarious that he left LeBron and now he's like, oh man, I want veteran leadership.
Yeah. But really, is Melo the guy you want? Because Melo's
front office? No.
I mean,
but players love him. I'm just saying, players still love him.
They do.
Right, but I mean, even as a player, you got to realize this is a guy who hasn't been to the playoffs aside from prior to Oklahoma City. He hadn't been to the playoffs since his Denver days, right?
Granted, he was in New York.
He went one year in New York.
It was a mess in New York anyway. That wasn't all his fault.
Oh, but come on, man. He's not the guy that's going to pace you through a season.
I'm not saying that's the case, but New York's a bad example because that's just a
New York is a very good example. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
New York traded away like four players to get Carmelo Anthony. They wound up trading away too much to get Carmelo Anthony, but they're like, at least we're getting Carmelo Anthony. This will pay off. And I think they were looking at James Harden to Houston as the inspiration when, you know, here's this really good player and we're giving away a lot to get him. But once he's here, he's going to shine exactly the way we expect him to. And, you know, they traded him midseason. What's their record? Okay, so he goes there. He's the star. He's the man. He's an all-star every year. He's putting up, you know, 22, 27, 28 points a game. But he doesn't really inspire leadership around him. He doesn't want to be the leader himself, but he doesn't want anybody else to rise to that level either. He clashed with Stoudemire. He clashed with his coach. It seemed like any time there was another player who came in there that might want to co-lead or was getting too good, he would be all passive aggressive with them. He just doesn't have the personality that you can build a team around. And he showed that no matter who else they put there with him, other than that 1 year, which was the 2013 season, you know, they go 54-28 and they were worse every year after that.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Melo wasn't even the best player that they got in that trade.
Who else did get that trade?
I'm trying to remember who else was
NBA champion J.R. Smith.
Oh, he was part of it. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, JR leaves, wins an NBA championship. Melo can't do anything. Who was really the better player? Let's be honest.
It is what it is. I digress. I get it, John. It's fine. I feel like that mess in New York is a bigger mess than just Carmelo, but I get where you're coming from, so I won't disagree.
Let me read this. Okay, 2013 Knicks. Executive, Glenn Grunwald. Coach, Mike Woodson. Record, 54-28. Next season, executive, Phil Jackson. Coach, Mike Woodson. Record, 37-45. Next year, executive, Phil Jackson. Coach, Derek Fisher. Record, 17-65.
Well, you've already mentioned a couple of names. I'll put the blame on before Carmelo. Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher. Do you want me to keep going?
Fair enough.
Okay. I can't lie. I think it's time to move on.
I think all so, right. too. Continue. Quick hit.
Another quick hit. King James, LeBron James, moves up to number 5 all-time on the scoring list, passing Wilt Chamberlain.
We knew it was coming.
He's there. He is roughly, I don't know, like 850 points, I think, behind Michael Jordan for number 4. How long until he gets there, guys?
How many points behind Michael?
I think 850, roughly.
Let's see. He needs...
He's averaging his
1,100 points to pass Michael Jordan. He needs about 2,000 points to pass Kobe Bryant.
That's not what Devin's seen. He's got the numbers up. He's looking.
I'm looking on. I'm looking on ESPN right now.
I'm on Statista. Is this wrong?
I think it might be. I don't think they've updated it because Devin's got ESPN up right now. He's looking
ESPN. All right, let me go to ESPN.
So while John's looking it up, in answer to your question, I think it happens this season. He's averaging the highest point total he has as a player since 2009, and he's doing it playing less minutes than he has played in his career as well. So he's setting a good pace scoring. I think he gets to it before the end of the season. Gets past Jordan.
Well, you got to figure you got 50 games roughly left this year. I don't know where they're at.
It's actually about 68, 67, 65, somewhere on there.
So left. If he plays 50 games, scores 20 points a game, he's there.
Exactly. And he will. Like I said, he's averaging.
These are the right numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's about 2,000 points behind Carmel or Kobe.
Okay. But behind Michael, I show.
Behind Michael, he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Let's see. 800-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah. 800, 850, yeah. Somewhere
and
around there.
And he will get there this season. He will get there.
Yep.
Which is wild, man.
He's averaging 27.9 a game right now.
But you figure he catches Michael this year. He's catching Kobe next season.
Yeah, easily.
And then it's on to the two big boys.
And I still think if he plays another couple seasons, he'll pass Carl. I don't know if he'll ever catch Kareem, but... Could definitely pass Carl if he continues at the pace he's going for a couple more seasons.
Man, I think Carl could have caught Kareem.
I think so, too.
I think he could have.
I think so, too.
So, but. We'll see. We will see. But quite a milestone. We'll see what the future holds. Let's see if there's any other hoop stuff. There's a lot of Zion talk. I think that's just going to be kind of a trend for college basketball this year, right, John?
Yeah.
All is well in Zion.
There's Zion, and then there's, I want to say RJ Barrett is another guy that's getting a lot of hype.
Yeah.
But it's really all about Zion right now.
Well, they're teammates, right?
Yeah.
So it's all
I was looking at
Duke.
One list, and it was like 3 of the top 10 prospects were all at Duke.
Well, you know what's crazy is he put up those big numbers, what was it, 2 weeks ago, and they won scoring 118 points. Duke, 118 points in college. Let that sink in. That's insane.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit of... let's go with some football talk. Dez Bryant signs with the Saints.
Injures the
next. Gets injured, he's done.
Yeah.
Big loss or not really?
How can it be a big loss when it isn't even a big gain yet? So I don't know that it's a big loss at the moment.
Well, it's about as big a loss as Andrew Bogut to the Cavaliers.
Okay.
It would have been a good piece, but we never really got to see it. So,
right.
Oh well.
So right.
You just never know.
Right.
I believe the Saints were going to go after Brandon Marshall.
I heard they did actually.
Did they actually make that happen?
I'm not sure. I thought they did.
Okay. So, I guess you take one vet out, you replace him with another, you're still going to be just fine if you're the Saints, right?
Let's see. Brandon Marshall, healthy and excited for New Orleans Saints opportunity.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Next quick hit. Le'Veon Bell does not show up, will not play for the Steelers this season. Is this the right move for him?
Well,
for
okay.
him, no. I don't. You're a football player. You do not know how many years you're going to be able to do this.
So
it doesn't make sense to me.
I feel the same way, and I've been very vocal about not thinking this is a great move. Then I saw a conversation with Tony Jones yesterday on Twitter, and so I decided to go out and look. I think one of the reasons behind this has to do with the franchise tag. And I was reading up, and he's trying to preserve his career because of that. And I was reading something. I want you guys to hear this. CBS printed something out about this, and this paragraph I screenshotted for a reason. Do the players like it, referring to the franchise tag? Probably not, as the teams have most of the leverage. For one, a franchise-tagged player's salary is guaranteed for only that season. If that player suffers an injury or underperforms during a franchise tag year, it will negatively affect his value on the free agent market. For another, the franchise tag year forces players to delay a big free agent payday for one season, one in which they most certainly could have received more money on the open market. So from a business standpoint, as much as I have been against this with Le'Veon Bell, it makes sense. I get why he's doing it.
Well, he plays. He's a running back. Running backs take some of the most punishment you would think out of any player on the field.
Right.
So he goes out. He gets injured. He could very well end his career or have a season-ending injury and then be going into a contract year.
And imagine if Philly were to have put the franchise tag on him when they signed the deal this year, and that happens. That screws him up, right? Based on what I just read, that screws him up. So from a business standpoint, I'm saying this makes sense for him, so I get it. Do I agree with it? Do I think it's is that one of the ugly things about professional sports I don't like? Yes, but I get it.
So we'll see. I think he's doing this not just for him. I think he's trying to make a change in how this all happens.
I wouldn't disagree.
That's going to benefit other players besides himself.
I wouldn't disagree.
So let's just to kind of figure out where we're at with the NFL. I wanted to quickly run through, see who's above 500 at this point in the season. We're week 11, I think, right now. After the Thursday game, your Seahawks beat the Packers. John, congratulations. So here's where we're at with the AFC. AFC East, you have two teams above 500. The Patriots at 7-3 and the Dolphins at 5-5.
Wow.
Are you surprised?
Dolphins. With the Dolphins a little bit, yeah.
Yes. Okay. I'm surprised at the AFC as a whole.
Yeah.
AFC West, you have the Chiefs at 9-1, the Chargers at 7-2. The Broncos are bad. The Raiders are awful.
The Raiders don't surprise me. The Broncos, I can't say I'm entirely surprised. And the Chiefs at 9-1, that's never a surprise to me because that's what Andy Reid's been doing with them. They're winning football games. So,
okay, AFC North, the Steelers are 6-2. The Bengals are 5-4.
No surprise for me there.
Biggest surprise, I think, there in that division is that the Browns have won 3 games and tied another one.
And fired their coach.
Yeah.
Okay, AFC South.
They won after they fired him.
That's true. AFC South, Texans are 6-3, Titans are 5-4.
I'm surprised Jacksonville's this bad.
That's true.
Same.
5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So it looks like out of the AFC, your maybe 3 contenders, I would say, are the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Chargers.
Agreed.
Just looking at,
and you can't quite count out the Steelers.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
That's true. That's true. They're 6-2, but okay. We'll throw them in there. Moving over to the NFC, the Redskins are 6-3 in the NFC East. That's the only team above 500. In the NFC West, you have the Rams at 9-1, and you have the Seahawks now at 5-5.
Right.
In the NFC North, you have...
And I will say this before you move on. The NFC, that division you just mentioned, the only surprise I have, and maybe this is me being a fan as much as anything, is the Niners, because I expected a different season. But injuries have decimated them this year, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. That's why that's not a surprise to me, is because of the injury bug.
Yeah.
NFC North, you've got the Bears at 6-3, and you have the Vikings at 5-3-1.
Okay.
And
is the Vikings a surprise to you guys? Because I expected them to be much better than that this year. Didn't you?
5-3-1.
After the way they ended the season, played last year, I thought they were a better team this year.
My biggest surprise there is the Bears, dude.
Yeah.
I did not expect the Bears to be winning the division.
But look at the other team you mentioned in the AFC. They made that trade, and look what happened.
Right.
Right? The Raiders are horrible now. Defensively, just horrible. And the Bears benefited, and look where they're at.
So, we'll see how this all ends up at the end of the season. NFC South, Saints 8-1, Panthers 6-3.
Yep.
So, out of the NFC, I think your contenders at this point are probably the Rams and the Saints. And that's about where I draw the line. I think it's going to be one of those two.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
Because both of them look fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I don't think there's anything else happening NFL-wise. Should we do a quick touch on college football?
Sure.
So Utah State jumps into the college football playoff ranking. They are the second team from the state of Utah to ever be in the college football playoff ranking. Congratulations, Utah State.
They're 8-1. That's huge.
Well, they're maybe going to win another game, because they're playing Colorado State this week. Colorado State is, where's their record? I'm not very good at the stats thing, John.
I don't know. Yeah, that's why John is just.
Colorado State is overall 3-7. They've lost 3 in a row.
John's our stat geek. You're trying
to. And college football is the hardest one to look for stats.
Yeah, that's true.
On the fly, because it's like there's a million of them. You got to get the conference first, and then you got to scroll down.
I think they go 9-1.
Yeah, I think Utah State wins easily.
Yeah.
And I think that sets up, yeah, that'll set up a big game. Huge game for them against Boise State.
I think they win that one too.
To close out the season.
I think they win that one too.
So that's one that needs to be a nationally televised game, because I want to watch that one.
Agreed.
BYU, John, you guys got the win. You put up 35 points against UMass.
I think they're going to win.
They're turning it all around.
New Mexico State this week, guys. Tomorrow, 8:15.
I think they're going to win. It's New Mexico State.
I think they'll win too.
Okay.
I mean,
home game.
You can't say that about any opponent, though. Well, right. It's New Mexico State.
Right.
Well, it was NIU. They still lost.
I agree.
I do think they're going to beat New Mexico State.
And they win. They become bowl eligible and send their seniors off senior night. So, yeah. And it sets up, you know, the game next week.
That's what I was going to say. Senior night. Who's your favorite senior? Who are you sad to see going?
Corbin. Isn't Corbin a senior this year? Kafusi?
Kafusi?
I believe he is.
I think so.
I think he's one of the ones I'm sad to see. Well, if he's a senior, I could be wrong, but
I believe I heard that name. I believe Taki.
Oh, see, that's another one. That's
roster.
Your Taki, if he's a senior, then that's your two big time ballers on the defense.
See, Taki always makes me think of Billy Madison.
Oh, Squally Canada's a senior. That's
yes, he is.
Bad.
Yes, he is. But he's been really up and down with injury this year.
Yeah, that's why it's too bad.
It is. But I believe Corbin Kafusi, and if Taki is, again, those two are the ones I'm probably the most sad to see go, because they're the studs on the defense that has had its bad moments this year.
See, you got to go back, and I'm going to make you
yes,
get
we
my
went,
reference.
Right.
Because I believe it's when Billy Madison shows up at the teacher's house and he's drunk and he goes, Taki. And he puts his finger up to her mouth and he goes, no more Taki. So there will be no more Taki.
Okay.
But I think he'll be going to the NFL, right?
Yeah, and I think Corbin will as well.
Okay. What about Mangum? You guys don't bring up Mangum.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, Mangum's a senior.
He's got you guys some good wins.
Yes, he has.
I like him. He seems like a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Okay. And then we'll talk, that other game next week. The U.
They got Colorado, don't they?
Yes, the rivalry game.
It's never a gimme for Utah with Colorado either. It's at Colorado, isn't it?
It is. It's probably going to be in the snow.
Probably.
So what do you think?
I think Utah win. I expect him to.
Okay. We have to keep in mind they are down a starting quarterback. They are down a starting running back.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I didn't get far into you guys' episode last week. Did you guys at least talk about that the Utes running back and quarterback are down and they're going to have to find a way to finish out the season without him?
I don't know that we knew that Zach Moss was out when we recorded last week. I think that may
True. That may have been midway through. No.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But I don't know. They got the win. The next man stepped up. And they played well last week.
Shine, isn't it?
Yeah, Shine. And he's been good when I've watched him play.
I expect him to win tomorrow. John?
Yeah, I'd say win.
Okay. So then if they get the win, I think then it starts coming down to Arizona State. Arizona State has to drop a game for the Utes to get to that
and they're playing
that
who?
Pac-12 South
I'm not
title.
Even sure who they'd be playing, Arizona State.
But, see, now you're going to make me go on
yep,
the fly.
I'm going to make you look up on the fly some stats here, yes.
Arizona State football will be playing. Oh.
Isn't it rivalry week for them? They play Arizona?
No.
No?
They play Oregon.
Oh, Oregon.
Then they play Arizona. So we are hoping that Oregon has an amazing bounce back game.
Yeah.
And just destroys them. The good news, that one is up in Eugene.
Yeah, and if they don't, then you have to rely on them to beat to lose to Arizona next week. And, that's not much to hang your hat on.
We have to trust Arizona, the team we've badmouthed since week one. Yeesh. Yeah,
all right.
That's a weird note to end Quick Hits on, but let's do it.
All right, that is Quick Hits for the week. Moving on to pop culture.
Yes, I saw a movie this week.
Yes, you did.
It was Overlord. It's from the production team behind the Cloverfield movies, although it itself is not a Cloverfield movie. It is the closest thing I think we're going to get to a Castle Wolfenstein movie. It's about a plane of World War II soldiers who get shot down a little early, and those that survive have the mission of blowing up a tower. The tower is in this German fortress where there happens to be scientists doing experiments on people and trying to create super soldiers. Of course, the serum kind of turns them into these, I don't know how to describe the creatures they turn them into. But it's very gory. It's full of action. It's really a nonstop roller coaster ride, pretty much. I enjoyed it. My wife is usually okay with gore, but this one had a few images where she's just like, I just wish I could unsee that movie. but, I was entertained for what it was. It's I don't think it's going to be an all-time classic or anything, but it's a really good, gritty, bloody genre movie.
All right. Overlord. I have never even heard that name mentioned about a movie, so this is the first time hearing.
Yeah, it's not doing that well. I think it's going to disappear pretty quickly.
I gather it wasn't marketed all that well either.
No, the first trailer only came out like 6 weeks ago, I think.
Right.
And I saw the trailer in IMAX. I'm like, oh, that's what that movie is. Because I knew it was – I heard the title, but I'm like, I had no idea what it was. And then I saw the trailer, and it got good reviews, so I went ahead and saw it, and – Yeah, I was entertained.
Okay.
I need to get going here.
Okay. Well, then let us no better place to end our show than remembering a legend. Right? We say goodbye to Stan Lee, who changed, revolutionized the comic book industry. and has been, I'm going to miss, at this point in time, I'm going to miss his cameos. So he's put up some great cameos in Marvel films, but Stan Lee, 95 years old, it's a long life. Thank you, Stan Lee. We'll remember you. So, any other words you want to add to that, Devin or John? That's it. Yeah.
Nah, just quite the maker of universes, right?
Yep. All right. Thank you all for joining us for yet another edition of Jedi and Germs. Look for us on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course, anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. Leave us a review, join our conversation. We appreciate you all very much. Thank you, and have a great week and Thanksgiving. John, take us out.
Excelsior!